This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, and we welcome you to Nats Winterfest here at the Nats Team Store, the defending World Series champion Washington Nationals are here to celebrate not only that, but also the upcoming 2020 season. I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you with us. We're with you live here on The Fan, the radio.com app, and thefandc.com/listen until 2 o'clock. We're going to be hanging out here at the team store with some extra guests until around 3 o'clock, and then Tom Lavero and I will rejoin you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. On your radio, and as you make your way to the ballpark here for day two of Nats Winterfest coming up tomorrow. We're in the Nats team store, center field gate, entry or area. You all know where it is. Come by, get some great World Series championship merchandise, and you might see somebody you might recognize. Not me. Nobody recognizes me. Nobody cares about me. I'm just here. I'm just a blabbermouth. Tim Parker, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Everybody knows Tim Parker, but we have special guests stopping by. As a matter of fact, we have one of them on the way right now. Absolutely. Good to have you with us as we celebrate again the Nationals World Series Championship right here at Nats Winterfest on The Fan. And joining us right now out of the chute is somebody we had a chance 13 months ago. We had a chance to talk in this very same location, and he wasn't a World Series champion then. He is one now.
That's right.
Chip Hale, how
Thank
are you.
You,
sir?
I'm great.
Congratulations.
Great
to see you again.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming by. How does it feel? I mean, I guess that's the most ridiculous, obligatory question that I've got to ask, right?
It feels great. I mean, every time, I've lived back in Arizona, so when we got our jerseys from the last game, we brought it home, and I have it hung up in a little trophy room we have, and every time I walk by that, I just get a big smile on my face, and it's surreal. I mean, obviously, we've kind of turned the page and get ready for this year, but that always kind of brings me back to it, and I think, just the most amazing moment to me, to be frank with you. I mean, it was great winning. It was a grind. The families together that whole month was great. But just coming back and seeing the fans in the parade made it really – that was the best thing for me. I never would have thought that was it. But just seeing the reaction of all of our great fans, it was unbelievable.
So that was better than being in the dugout Game 7 at Minute Maid Park and winning it?
Well, I would say the moment we won it was probably the best.
Yeah.
But just seeing how happy you could make a community and bring people together, it was really cool.
And that is – I mean, look, all communities are like that, but – now I covered the Capitals during their Stanley Cup run. I don't know if we talked about that last year, and now you guys have done this. It really is. It's a baseball thing. It's an individual accomplishment. It's a team accomplishment. It's a franchise accomplishment. But it is really a community accomplishment because a lot of these fans have been coming to this ballpark since it opened back at RFK before this ballpark was even open, spending thousands and thousands of dollars every year, blood, sweat, tears, all of that stuff to support this team and to give you guys home field advantage. And now that's your gift back to them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just like I said, it – just seeing the smiles and the joy that we brought, and just every day we go out that ballpark, it is a great home field advantage. It's getting better and better every year, and obviously it will. We realize where we are. This is the hub, so there's going to be a ton of people from all over the country, all over the world. So sometimes there's some fans from other ballparks and other fans, but our fans override them.
I think it's going to be a lot better, even better than it has been in the regular season, this upcoming regular season, because, you know, you win a championship and fans are more likely to come out and support and be consistent in that regard. Chip Hale is with us of the World Series champion Washington Nationals on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Chris Russell. So tell me, you know, so much has been made out of the 19-31 start.
Right.
When I talked to you last year, again, at this set, you guys weren't even sure if you were going to have Bryce Harper. He ultimately leaves. You go to spring training, and things seem different, and everybody was jacked up about the new season, rightfully so, to get back to that playoff perch, and then you start 19-31. How did you guys stay as positive and as focused as you were to dig out of that hole?
Well, a lot of it, you know, for me, a lot of the credit goes to our veteran players, especially when we started to – we got the Gerardo Parras. We got Asdrubal Cabrera. These guys brought, you know, some legitimacy. Guys who'd been to the playoffs, guys who'd been around, and just sort of settled things down. We as coaches, we kept working. You know, we brought guys out early. We started to do some special drills with different players, especially the younger guys, and just try to take their mind off of these all these, you know, mounting losses, and just let's get back to basics. You know, sort of the process. You know, we always hear that whether it's in school or business, you know, you always want to worry about the process more than what happens in the end. So
process more important than more important than the results, but the process is just as important.
Right. Well,
is that fair?
For me, you have to put all your energy into the process because a lot of times there's things you can't control in the game.
Sure.
You know, Davey stayed positive. We also knew. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. When we went on the road trip from Philadelphia to Milwaukee and to L.A., we really were struggling. But we were playing, and the guys were giving everything they had. But we had, you know, no Rendon, no Turner, no Soto. And we knew once that group got back together and if we were able to stay here, you know, you, as a coach and a manager, you're always worried about, what is this going to be our last day?
Yeah.
And so we said, once these guys get back together and we get Max and Steven and Patrick and Annabelle rolling, we thought we could make a little bit of a run. And we knew our schedule would get come sort of into our favor. We played some really tough series early. So once that started to happen and things started to roll, you saw what happened.
So you kind of admitted something that I was curious about. You know, usually – every coach that I've covered in the NFL and in hockey and baseball as well over my career said, I don't think about all that stuff. But you're a human being, right?
Right.
You guys had to be thinking, especially because Lil, you know, obviously was no longer here. I mean, you had to be thinking that at some point the patience was going to run out and that you had to find a way to quick hit that switch. So for you, it was maybe the combination of health, staying positive, the process, and also that schedule. It wasn't one thing. It was four or five things kind of coming together at the same time.
It was, and it's not, I mean, as in our position, we understand what our job is, and we understand when you take these jobs, it's all about expectations.
Sure.
And we had the roster and the payroll that we should have been competing better. And so once we got those guys that were actually making that money back on the field, we started to compete better.
Yeah.
And it showed. And it's about timing, too. And we got hot at the right time. And, you know, the wild card game just sort of set us off.
That wild card game, were you guys tight because of all that history? Not that you guys were all a part of it, your staff, Davey's staff that you're a part of. And obviously some of the players had changed, but some of the players had been here. 14 was in San Francisco, but 12, 16, 17.
Right.
All that had come before you. The city was kind of on edge. Did you guys feel tight up until that eighth inning rally with Soto and everybody contributing, or was it a different feel inside the clubhouse and the dugout?
I don't think inside of our world there was any tightness. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was any, there was a lot of talk about it. And I know that the fans, the ownership, there was a lot of nervousness about, well, you know, this is a tough situation.
Sure.
We didn't feel that way. We were playing a really good team who we just played a couple weeks before here. And so we knew it was going to be a dogfight. And to win it the way we did was incredible against, you know, arguably the best closer in baseball last year and Hader. And Juan doing that.
He's nasty, isn't he?
Yeah, he is nasty. And for Juan to do that and the ball to take a funky hop, it just was a special thing. And I think it sort of showed guys on the team, too, like, hey, this is a special time. I mean, for that ball to do that was amazing.
Was there an underrated moment in the journey? either in the postseason or in the regular season, something that maybe doesn't get a lot of credit or talked about,
right?
In your eyes,
well,
I think that meant something.
Yeah, I think there were the few underrated moments were all the runners that Max and Steven stranded in Houston, you know, early in the game.
Yeah,
I mean, those games, 6 and 7, both could have been early blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw, so
that's a great
people
point.
Always say to me, what, you know, guys couldn't win a game at in D.C.
Right.
in the World Series and was unfortunate. But if you look at the way the series went in Houston, we got all the hits at the key moments with two outs, a homer, like Tony, home run late in the eighth, or, you know, these hits. We didn't get one here.
Even that first inning in Game 6 to kind of break the ice, Trey leads off with an infield single, and you guys get a run.
Right.
And I know you had to do more than that, but it kind of maybe gets you guys back
and
in
it
your group,
never,
right?
It never happened here in D.C. They got them all.
Yeah.
If you think about it, the Astros got all their big hits here in this stadium, and they couldn't get that big one to put us away in one. Or it was game two, it was pretty much a blow-up. But game one and then 6 and 7, both, they had many opportunities to put that game away.
Yeah. How does this, I know there's a lot of shuffling in your guys' roles and on the coaching staff, but in the lineup there'll be some shuffling, obviously, because no Tony. How does this team kind of make up for that, maybe not to put too much pressure individually on everyone to make up for Anthony, assuming that, and I know you can't talk about this, that a guy like a Donaldson or somebody else big, proven, I guess, is at third base. How do you not put too much pressure on yourself to kind of make up for that production?
Well, the big thing for me is our veterans, all the veterans we've signed is gonna be very important, because they know how not to do that.
Right.
The young players and like Juan, we have to be very careful with that situation. But if you think back, Juan hit behind Tony, so it wasn't like he had this permanent. When Howie played, he hit behind him, or Zim would hit behind him. So we have a number of veteran players that can sort of, cushion that a little bit for us. And it's the old thing, if they think back to the Moneyball movie or the book, when they lost Giambi with the A's, they sort of decided, okay, we're not going to get someone to get 110 RBIs or 120 RBIs, but we can get two or three guys that can get, 50 or 60 that'll play these positions.
Right.
And if you look at the way things are lining up, as you say, if there's no more signings, we have a number of guys that can play third, number of guys can play second, number of guys can play first, and they really – need to be moved around. They need to not play necessarily 6-7 days a week at their age for them to be at their best.
The versatility, the interchangeability.
So the versatility and the veteran presence, I think, will help, dispel all those issues you're talking about.
One last one for you before we let you go. Chip Hale with us here at Nats Winterfest, part of the World Series champions, in case you guys didn't realize that this is a World Series championship team now. Davey Martinez obviously went through that health scare, but he's so positive. He's so energetic. He's so... the message seems the same from afar. I'm not in the clubhouse every day. What is your experience been like, with him, because you've managed at this level? I mean, you've seen the grind, you've been a baseball lifer. What has that experience been like?
Well, he was very steady. I think that's the word to use. He was steady even through the losses, and there was no panic. And he just is he's got a lot of energy, like you say, but he doesn't get too high or too low in the clubhouse. He's very good with each player individually, talking to him, letting him know what their role is, and sort of just staying straight with him.
Yeah.
Instead of, telling him one thing and doing another. So those are the things as a manager that are sometimes aren't easy. When guys want to come in and talk about their role, and you're honest with them, sometimes it doesn't go too well. And Davey has a real good way of giving him that news.
Congratulations,
thank
man.
You.
I'm very happy
thank
for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I'm happy for everybody here.
Let's
thank
give him
guys.
A big hand. Chip Hale, of course, not manager. Part of the coaching staff here of the World Series champion Washington Nationals. We're at Nats Winterfest. I'm Chris Russell. We're in the center field team store. Trey Turner expected to join us in just a little while, we think. Stay tuned on The Fan. Once again, good afternoon, everybody. We welcome you back to the Nats Team Store as part of day one of Nats Winterfest, celebrating the 2019 World Series champion Washington Nationals, which is a good thing. Thanks to Chip Hale. Absolutely. Nice crowd on hand. We're expected to be joined any moment by a special guest that'll get everybody all lathered up here in the team store, assuming that everything goes the way it is scheduled. Until then, you're stuck with me, unfortunately. Sorry, guys. But I'll do my best to entertain you. Listen, this team was obviously, as we know, a special team coming back from that 19-31 deficit. You know, so many people have talked about the injuries as being the main thing. That wasn't only the thing. It was, quite honestly, you know, if we're being fair, it was bad defense and bad base running and just bad fundamentals and lack of clutch hitting. And then almost kind of just magically starting with that Memorial Day weekend series right in this building against the Miami Marlins. And, you know, I guess that's a good way to get it. A winning streak and a season turned around. They won 3 out of 4 games in that series, and then they went to Atlanta, and Atlanta was in first place, and they were kicking everybody's butt. And then they swept those 2 games, and then I think they won 2 out of 3 in Cincinnati the next weekend. And all of a sudden, you started to say, okay, this team, like, finally starting to feel it a little bit, finally starting to get some of that oil through the engine. And really, it started, you know, many Nationals fans were here. The struggle started on that night that Bryce Harper returned. I mean, it started, the Mets won 2 out of the first 3 games of the series here at Nationals Park, but then after an off day, that Tuesday night, and I was here, it was cold, everybody was jacked up because Harper was here, you're booing, this, that, and the other thing, welcome. But then Trey gets hurt in that particular game and breaks his finger, and really the top of the lineup is altered and everything changes, and this team kind of gets behind. And I think you guys can probably tell that we're being joined by our special guest that I was kind of teasing and mentioning. Welcome in 2019 World Series champion Trey Turner, Nationals fans. Good to have you aboard. Appreciate it. Congratulations. How are you? Oh, wait, we got to get your microphone on. Yep. Can no, we're not there yet. Timmy? All right, we got you now. Yeah, now we got you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Congratulations. I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us. Yes. Appreciate you doing this. Before we get to the talk of the season, I was just talking about the injury that kind of started everything. This is always a cool event, right, to mix and mingle with the fans, see some of the exhibits, and you see the crowd that we have jammed in here at the team store. I mean, it's so cool, right? You're a baseball player. You get to do a lot of cool things, but it's nice to do fun events like this.
You know, it's the passion from your own fan base, which is nice. So, obviously, these are, you know, our super fans and our guys that follow us, you know, from day one all the way till the end each and every year. So it's nice getting a chance to meet them and talk to them and you know, interact with them. So we're having fun, and hopefully these next 2 days we get to meet as many people as possible.
How many times have you woken up since, October 31st or whatever it was, and said, holy heck, I'm a World Series champion?
It's still weird. Like, I'll see highlights every once in a while. Yeah. I'll turn on a TV, see highlights, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I forgot about that. But, you know, it's great. I feel like I see the replay of Hudson throwing his glove like every fifth day or something. I'm like, it's a nice reminder that, we accomplished it.
I'll never feel that way. Most people will never feel that way. What was that moment like as you realized, again, oh, my gosh, we did it?
Well, yeah, it's weird. I said when we did it, you know, 29 teams end their year on a loss for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. You know, at least the ones that make the playoffs, I guess I should say. But to, like, end your year on a win and then be done is kind of weird. Yeah. It's like almost like a dream a little bit, and we get to obviously get to party and have fun. But, you know, when the parade came, that was really special seeing, you know, everybody out there for that, and kind of hit home.
World Series champion shortstop Trey Turner with us here on 106.7 The Fan. You're used to being cheered, but that's got to feel good, right? I mean, let me ask you from this standpoint, and I might be screwing up the timeline here, so forgive me. I remember making this point on the radio that night post-game. You guys were down in Houston, but I believe it was Game 6. You're up. First inning, you guys had lost the 3 games here, and you beat out an infield single. And you guys get a run. I think it was on a sac fly. Tony, I think, had a sac fly or something like that. to me, that was such an underrated moment, and I'm not trying to put you in a weird spot to talk about yourself, but I'm going to ask you to talk about yourself. If I'm right on that timeline, I thought that was an underrated moment in you guys being able to win game 6 and 7 to kind of break the ice after what happened here.
Yeah, so for me, just in general, I think everyone envisions getting the walk-off hit or the homer and whatnot, but if you're going to win, you're going to have a lot of guys do a lot of different things. So if you go back, you can see countless at-bats where, you know, Eaton maybe bunt somebody over, or somebody hits behind a runner and moves them over, or sack fly. And, you know, it may not necessarily be the home run, which everyone wants, or the strikeout or whatever it is, but maybe it's a defensive play. So for me, you don't know when your time is going to be or what it's going to be, but you just need to be ready and prepared. And, you know, I feel like I made some good defensive plays for us throughout the series. And, you know, maybe that was, you know, my job. It was that, and looking back at it, and, you know, wasn't hitting 500 and doing all the stuff, but it was, you know, doing the small things. So, you know, I think you could look back at all 25 guys, even, you know, I guess we used probably more than 25 guys, but somebody did something somewhere that wasn't that big, but maybe, you know, played a role in us.
Right. Was I right, though, on that? Do you remember that
or
no?
I
think it was game 6, first inning.
Because
I remember making a big point.
I usually remember that stuff.
I mean, it was just like a little thing, and I was like, you know, Trey, like, not broke the ice. I mean, obviously, you didn't do it by yourself. I'm pretty sure I was right. Anyway, I don't want to waste that much time. Either way, it was important for you guys to, of course, get that game started and then ultimately win and go on to game 7. Now, take me back to when you got injured on that Tuesday night. Bryce is back. The ballpark is juiced. And, you know, all the injuries then start. How mentally frustrating was that to see your season start, you get ready, you spend the all off season, spring training, and then something unfortunate again, and something similar happened 2 years ago where you lost a lot of time?
Yeah, that's what's unfortunate is, you know, it's a hit-by-pitch, which happens all the time, but when you get a broken bone, you just got to sit and wait for it to heal, which sucks, and you can't rehab it, you can't do anything, and it also doesn't feel like it's self-inflicted, you know, for the most part. Obviously, you know, you don't blame the guy who threw the ball, but, you know, you feel like it's not your fault, and you got to deal with it. I mean, you got to put it behind you. If you don't, then you're just going to be miserable, and, you know, for me, I always try to be positive, try to enjoy, you know, each and every day, and I don't want to sit there and focus on something that I can't necessarily control, so... you know, it's tough, but ended up working out pretty good.
You hit .298 during the regular season last year. You know, again, obviously less at-bats than normally you would have. But you've been a part of this young core. Did you see what ultimately, like, do baseball players think about, hey, you know what, we've got this really young core, obviously Tony, and we'll get to him in a second, Juan, Bryce, you had here for a while, great pitching. We could be a World Series team, or did you just operate like that? You know what? If it happens, it happens. I won't think about it. I'm just playing baseball. How did you kind of approach mentally what you guys were building towards, if that makes sense?
I think it's both. For me, I thought last year and probably this year, you know, too, since we have a lot of guys back, but we just had a lot of competitors, guys that won't give up at bats. And I know we talked about it a lot last year, but, you know, Juan's grinding out every single at bat, Eaton's grinding out every single at bat, and we had Howie, you know, Tony, and just up and down the lineup, we had a ton of guys that just compete. And, you know, I think that's how you get to, you know, that World Series, how you, you know, make the postseason, is you got to compete every day. If you just think you're going to get there, then it's probably not going to happen. So, you know, we take pride in each and every day. We try to win. We don't want to lose because we take it a little personal, and then we can also move on. I think that's the veteran part of the clubhouse, is we can move on pretty quick.
Back to the finger again. You know, I remember a close-up in the World Series. I think it was game 6 or 7. I can't remember, Fox. Yeah. And it was kind of swollen, right? And it was kind of blown up. I mean, I didn't realize it was still that bad. Maybe I, you know, because I'm not around you guys every day. I'm mostly in the studio. How bad was it still then? And how difficult was it to do everything that you're required to do?
Yeah, it sucked. Yeah, it was after the World Series. I mean, I didn't want it to be the reason or the excuse or whatever it was. I didn't want to talk about it because to me, it didn't matter. I felt like I could help out, and I didn't want that to be a reason for anything, whether it was I didn't make a play or I didn't hit well or we lost because of this or that. So I didn't want to talk about it. But, you know, I had surgery, and I couldn't really do normal day stuff. Obviously, I could hit and throw, and it wasn't that bad, but normal things were a pain, and then get the surgery, and I, you know, I have a lot more range of motion now. So I did start hitting. I can hit with 10 fingers again. Whether I do or I go back to 9 is the better question, because I liked hitting with 9. But It's better. It's a lot better. Yeah. And, you know, it's nice to put that behind me.
When you look to your right this year and you don't see Tony Rendon, and you know what he meant, obviously, to this organization, and nobody's unhappy that he got paid and he has gone on to a different organization, but how weird is that going to be for you?
Yeah, for sure. He's the only third baseman I've known, obviously, and he plays every single day. You see him all the time. So, you know, one of my good buddies, and I'm happy for him. I'm glad he got a ton of money and, you know, got a chance to, you know, take care of his family and whatnot. So, you know, want to talk to him again and see how he's doing. But it's going to be weird playing next to somebody else. But, you know, that's baseball. That's the business side. You got to get past that. And hopefully, you know, we got somebody to, you know, fill those shoes.
You got a little bit of money recently. All right. Settling this arbitration thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Are you of the thought that, you know, like this arbitration process is weird, right? Because nobody wants to go to arbitration because then you got to start slinging some dirty laundry and often teams and players. Are you one of those guys that, like, Atlanta locked up a bunch of their young guys early, pre-arbitration, pre-free agency? Are you of that thought process, or are you, and I'm not asking for like your actual plan, but just like, are you of like secure the future and do something that might be beneficial for both sides, or are you a play it out like Tony and Bryce did kind of guy?
I think I'm both. I think you can do both. You know, signing an early deal, I don't think it's a bad thing as long as you know what you are getting and or giving up, and vice versa. I don't think going to free agency is a bad thing unless you know what you're kind of risking or trying to obtain. So, you know, I don't fault anybody for making a decision as long as they know, you know, what it's going to cost and what the risk is and what the reward is. And for me, I would love to play here my entire career, but, you know, I'm not the decision maker. I'm not the decision maker. I also feel like, you know, I think I can play better baseball than I have. So don't want to sell myself short and just continue to listen, see what happens. And when I have the most information I think I need to make a decision, I'll make a decision.
One last thing for you, because I got to let you go, because you only have about 5,000 fans here waiting to greet you. 30 seconds. What's the coolest thing you've been able to do since becoming a World Series champion?
I don't know. I think the parade was very cool, to be honest, and not just kissing butt, but the parade was very, very cool, something I'll always remember. But I don't think it's because I was World Series champion, but me and my wife just took a trip to Wyoming, and we did dog sledding, which was
nice.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
So Iditarod type stuff,
yes,
or no?
Yes, that's actually, wow. Yeah. And
so you did that?
Like, I mean, I didn't tell the dogs to do anything. I just stood and watched.
Oh, you watched.
Know, our guy. Well, yeah, I mean, I rode the sled.
I gotcha.
But we did a little hike, and the dogs were awesome, and it was cool to see.
Well, that's great.
You know, the chemistry between the guide and the dogs, and then got a chance to meet them and pet them, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was really good.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. It's great to have you here.
Appreciate
congratulations
it.
On everything you've done. Trey Turner, part of the World Series champion, Washington Nationals, back in a flash with more guests to stop by here at the Nats Team Store. Stick around on The Fan. Alrighty, we welcome you back to the Nats Team Store right here beyond center field at Nationals Park as we celebrate the 2019 World Series champion, Washington Nationals, at Nats Winterfest. I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you with us here on thefanradio.com and as well thefandc.com. Listen. Thanks to Trey Turner and as well Chip Hale for joining us. Charlie Slows up in a little bit, the voice of the Washington Nationals. And joining us right now here at the set is Carter Kieboom. How are you, sir? What's going on?
Awesome. I mean, I'm enjoying my off season right now and ready to get back after it, I guess.
Is the baseball, you know, I mean, you were here for a cup of coffee, I guess, and maybe a little bit more. You play a full, you know, minor league season. It's a long grind. Is the off season too long, or is it about right, or how do you kind of approach it? Like, do you get itchy after a while and ready to go?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where mentally you get ready to go pretty quickly, but physically I think your body definitely needs a break for a little bit, and but I think it's a perfect amount of time, honestly. I think it's one of the longest, it's the longest season in sports, and play the most games, so your body definitely needs to recoup. And but no, I think everybody's mind around here right now is ready to get back after it.
What did you learn about yourself coming up here when you did in trying times for the team? You know, obviously, you know, there were some struggles there. It's a very, very, very difficult game to play at a great level, and everybody kind of struggles and goes through bumps in the road and potholes and whatever. What did you learn about yourself during that couple of week period?
You know, it was a tough time. It was, but it was a great learning experience mm-hmm. for me, to be put in those situations. I came up in a lot of big situations, whether I had success or failed, but, no, I learned really just kind of continue to be yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a big environment, especially when you first get up there, and then, to come into a team where, we didn't have everything going for us at the right time. And then, to see the team finally figure it out, and, turn everything around. It was a real example of what kind of guys are in that clubhouse. So to be able to learn from them every day and see what they do day in and day out was, I think that was the most I could take away from everything.
After that experience here, and then you go back to work on your craft and get better and develop and all that stuff, how much are you able to keep tabs on everybody, watch a little bit, follow? And then obviously, I know the postseason run, you were telling some of the fans that, you know, like, unfortunately, you weren't there in Houston, but you were able to watch it all and enjoy it all, I assume, right?
Yeah. I mean, regular season is tough. We have similar schedules, but I was able to keep tabs on how the team was doing. Obviously, everybody talked about the turnaround that they had, and then the postseason, I watched all the games, followed all the moves that they made, and it was just special to see because I saw those guys. I was up there at a time where it was tough. It was a tough environment. It was hard for us to win. And then to see them all having the success that they had, and then they're having a great time doing it. It was pretty cool to see.
You're the top prospect in this organization. I think most people would grade you as that, whatever the term would be. How do you see yourself specifically from a defensive standpoint or from a positional standpoint? Like, if you had to draw it up in your mind, you would be a...
Whatever they need me at. That's not an easy answer. You know, I think this team has a lot of moving parts. We got a lot of guys coming back and a lot of veterans coming back who can play a lot of positions. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be something that's real set in stone. I think it's going to be a collective group effort to hold all these positions down. I mean, obviously, you got Castro and Turner who have surely proved themselves over the years. So those guys are pretty set in stone. But you know, there's a little bit of opening and. You know, I just got to show up to spring training and do what I can.
Well, the reason – it's a loaded question. I'm just going to be honest with you. So a baseball scout buddy of mine who works for a different organization in the American League has – and maybe I'm misremembering the conversation, but I know we've had it about 14 times. He loves you, and he thinks you're going to be a really good third baseman. That's what he said to me. Now, maybe I'm, again, misinterpreting. I don't think I am. Do you feel like that is maybe your easiest path or your avenue eventually to an everyday – national, or how do you kind of look at all that?
It could be. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what everybody else is thinking. It doesn't come down to me at the end of the day. All I can do is really play. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show up to spring training ready to play all the positions. That's what I'm doing in the offseason, working on third base, second base. I'll still do some shortstop. But I've really kind of honed in on a lot of third base lately. I feel like that's that. Anybody looks at the lineup, I think that's the one spot mm-hmm. where I might have a legit shot.
Sure. So that was by design in your mind, or did they tell you to do more of that?
No, I think you can just see the cards fall and see what happens. But no, there's no definite answer on anything. Really, just be ready. You have to be ready to do all positions, especially as a young guy. You don't very few guys get to come up and they have their position. They usually start somewhere else and then they go somewhere and then they finally settle down. And for me, I don't know where I'm going to settle down. It could be anywhere. So my job is just to make the routine plays and drive in runs.
But it seems like this team, and I know we got to let you run in a second, Carter Kaboom, with us here on 106.7 The Fan. It seems like this team, Castro, I mean, Trey obviously, has played different positions, but he's locked in at short. How he can play second, first base. He'll obviously DH on the road. Guys have a lot of positional versatility, and that allows for depth. That allows for guys to have days off. That allows for guys, if they're struggling, to kind of take a seat back or maybe try something new, right? And that's important as a baseball player and in this organization specifically to have that positional versatility.
Right. I mean, I think that's what we have. We have, like you said, Howie and we signed Cabrera.
Oh yeah.
You know those guys are huge. They've played every position yeah. growing up, and they're very talented at every single one. So for me, it helps me just watching them be able to do all that and how they manage the different positions and remember how to do certain things, whatever it is. But you know, my job is really, I can't play GM, so who knows what's going to happen. All I'm worried about is hitting the ball and feeling the ball,
right?
Wherever it is.
You're part of a baseball family, obviously, and that's a cool thing, right? I mean, baseball is in the blood of the Keybooms, right?
Yep, that's right. I mean, everybody. Started with my dad. Came to the States when he was 17, and I played at Eastern Illinois. I was a catcher and a kicker on the team, and then grew up watching Spencer play, and then my other brother, Trevor, who's now an agent, and as I was the bat boy.
And he's your agent, right?
Yeah. Right. I was the bat boy for the team, so I just grew up around the game.
Right.
It wasn't something I was forced into. It was just something I really wanted to be a part of, and you know, I'm lucky now that I still get to continue and play this game that I started off loving so much at a young age.
So one last thing, and then we got to let you go. Carter Keeboom with us at Thanksgiving dinner, at Christmas dinner. Do we not talk baseball because baseball is everything we do, or do we avoid it? Or is that just like, hey, pass the stuffing, and oh, by the way, how did you hit the curveball?
It's talked about a little bit, but it is kind of avoided.
Yeah.
I think my parents, they've gotten used to us. We don't always like to talk about it very much.
Yeah.
But it is what we do. It is what we grew up doing, so it's kind of hard not to.
Best of luck this year, man. Looking forward to watching you.
I appreciate it.
All right, that's Carter Keeboom with us here on 106.7 The Fan. Good to have you with us. The voice of the World Series champion Washington Nationals, Mr. Charlie Sloz, is standing by. He's next from the Nats Team Store. It's Nats Winterfest on The Fan. Hi there, premature start. Welcome back. It is Nats Winterfest. We're at the Nats Team Store in the center field gate area. Come on by, say hello. We've had Carter Keeboom, Trey Turner, and Chip Hale so far. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we get to the star of the show. The star of the show is the voice of the Washington Nationals, along with Dave Jagler. You hear so many nights and days on 106.7 The Fan, the Nationals Radio Network. I'm sorry, the Steam Fitters UA Local 602 Nationals Radio Network. At least it was last year. Mr. Charlie Sloz, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
You're a World Series champion broadcaster. How about that?
Still.
And
amazing, I guess as far as 2019 is concerned, forever.
I mean, they're never going to take it away from you, that final call.
This never gets old, right? Never,
there you go.
Never going away.
And when you get your ring, now I heard you with, was it Grant and Danny the other day, right, talking about your ring, and you didn't seem to be like that all worried about it. They hadn't sized you or whatever. Has anybody sized you up for a ring yet since that time or no?
I don't know that anybody has.
I mean, they've got to get these rings done.
Normally,
my guy Charlie Sloz needs a ring.
From what I know or have heard, and this speaking from a lack of experience, having never been through this before, from other teams that they usually players get fitted at the beginning of spring training. The ring's being designed at this point.
Oh, so they can turn it around that quickly from the sizings. Okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
And then usually first home game, they raise,
yeah.
they raise the championship flag. And then the second home game is usually when the ring ceremony is.
Well, and actually now, you got a week. I mean, because you guys open up on the road in New York.
Right.
So you got even a longer time.
Right.
Even though the season starts earlier than like ever nowadays in like
days,
late March,
yeah.
like March 26th or whatever it is.
Yep.
You guys open up a week in New York and then you go somewhere else.
Miami.
And then you come home.
And play New York and
play,
Miami.
Right, exactly. with all the off days sprinkled in there. So actually they have a little more time. All right. So we'll get to that. Here's one thing I wanted to ask you. I last saw you at a Capitals game
in November.
Yeah, like right. You know, you and Alex came up there, right? Am I remember that right? Or maybe it wasn't Alex. I can't remember.
It was Jim, my other son.
There you go. So I didn't get to ask you then because we're busy. You're busy. Whatever. When you are in the position that you're in, and you're potentially getting ready to call the final out of a World Series title. The first in the franchise history. You haven't done this rodeo before. How in the bleep are you coming up with okay, how am I going to say this? How am I going to execute? I mean, I know you have your standard kind of, you know, thing that you do and your signature call, but how do you plan a lot, or do you just say you're going to let it flow and let the emotions flow?
Well, I thought about that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get to game seven and after winning game six.
Yeah.
They can win this tonight.
Yep.
And it's not like you're going to think, well, I'll think about it when we get there, because that's it. The season's ending tonight. Mm-hmm. Someone's winning the World Series.
Right.
And so I thought about, well, things that you should say to mark the moment, franchise history, baseball history, no road teams. You've never had a World Series, won every game won by the road team. All these different things. How can I get these in? And then what are things that I want to say? And you can't really, like, write it out, but you might have a few things in mind in your head. And then, as I always tell people, there's kind of like two broadcasts going on when I'm doing a game. There's the one that comes out of my mouth, and there's the one that's inside my head. Like in 2017, when they didn't call the backswing by the bat hitting Matt Wieters, and the ball went to the backstop.
Mm-hmm.
And the ball's in play after Wieters looks at the umpire and runs to the backstop, and it's raining and the ball's wet. And I'm describing this, but then the other voice in my head's going, the ball's wet, don't throw it, don't throw it. And he throws it into right field.
We all know
what happened after that. So when you get to the bottom of the ninth inning, after they added on runs in the eighth and ninth, and you're up 6-2, one out, two out, and you're like, okay, boom, this can really happen now.
Right.
You know, so now it's like all the things that you need to do. Okay, remember, you're calling a game. You're looking at Dave. You're looking around. You're seeing people's eyes, and you're like, I can't look at anybody now. Because all of a sudden, you know, there's the third part that was never there before. There's an emotional thing going.
Oh, yeah.
And you're hoping that your heart rate's not speeding up too much. Because and then there actually was a fourth little voice in my head saying, don't screw it up. This is it. You may never get another chance to do this. This is the moment. So then I try not to think, of anything. And then I didn't get cooperation because I'm trying to build up the moment. One more strike.
Mm-hmm.
One more out. Swing and foul ball.
Mm-hmm.
Foul ball. So how many times can you say this same thing to build up to it? And then, there we were. Another 3-2 pitch from Hudson.
Right.
He comes to the belt, here's the kick, here's the pitch, and then he swung and missed, and all those other things just
I think I've heard, swing and a miss, swing and a miss, swing and a miss.
I thought about that after. I never said they won the game. I didn't put the score in at that moment.
We forgive you.
But I think everybody knew what happened.
I'm pretty sure. I was at Nats here, at Nats Park. I was working, covering the celebration, if you will, or the game or the reaction for the radio station. So I didn't get to hear your call until after I got back to the station through the mob and to do the post-game show. And so, it was, because I got the Fox call that was up here, and it was just – it was just incredible to hear the emotion in your voice. And I know this – you're here – with this team, you take no days off.
No.
No vacations. You're here 162 games a year, 15 spring training games roughly, something like that. You're around the ball club every off day. You're traveling. You're as much of a part of this, and you are these fans' connection to this team that listen to you on our radio station, on the radio network. You and Dave, obviously you guys get lauded as one of the best, if not the best, baseball radio play-by-play teams, but you guys are the connection, so you're as much a part of that fiber of what this team did and overcame.
Well, it was a privilege for us to get to do it. There's no local TV, so the only Nationals flavor broadcast is the radio broadcast all the way through the postseason. And, it was a thrill of a lifetime seeing the only thing that was really missing was winning it at home.
Yeah.
If you won the whole thing at home, I might have seen a lot of you that night that I'm seeing in front of me right now that I didn't get to see. Maybe some at the parade. I saw a lot of familiar faces at the parade. But when there's 750 to a million people all in the same place, it's hard to catch the eyes of every person while you're riding by in a very cool Camaro convertible that – That was pretty cool, huh? Yeah. That was pretty cool.
I mean, I had a good perch. I was at the Canadian Embassy right there by the museum, so I could see you. But I wasn't as cool, you know, as Charlie Sloes.
Getting to be on the, you know, for the stage ceremony, getting to introduce Davey Martinez, getting some really cool pictures that, you know, you have keepsake for the rest of your life. By the way, I need to install more walls at my house.
I was just going to ask you, what's the coolest thing yet? Because your compatriot on the hockey side, John Walton, has, like, I saw a framed picture with the Stanley Cup and, like, his call in words in you know, like, around the Stanley Cup. What's the coolest thing, that piece of memorabilia that you have, you know, from the World Series championship?
Well, we're still working on it. I got some really cool pictures. Picture with, at the end of the stage ceremony, with Davey and I holding the trophy. Mm-hmm. I've had several pictures, one in the clubhouse with a trophy, one or the two others at a couple of other different places. But I know the thing you're talking about, because some friends of mine bought that poster, the one that has the words to the trophy.
Oh, okay.
And it arrived at my house the other day.
Oh, how about that? All right, so you have that. Excellent. And it's your call, right?
It's on the word. Yeah, it's the word.
Oh, that's great.
See, I didn't even know this company did that. I didn't know about the company that makes the dugout mugs with the made out of bats that are on the shelf there that are emblazoned. The World Series, this logo that's on my jacket is on the bat. It says stay in the fight on the other side. They burn your name right into it too. Made for, had my name on it. Those Christmas sweater. I didn't know any of this. When you lose, you don't know about any of this stuff.
You don't pay attention to it, right. You
I got a bottle of wine with the trophy logo etched into it. All these things were coming to my house.
I mean, it's good to be Charlie Sloes.
And even the things that I tried, some of them that I tried to buy, and said, okay, how much? I'll give you my credit card. Nope, you guys won the World Series. It's on us.
You'll never have to pay for a steak dinner again, huh?
I'd like to try that one out. That hasn't happened yet. I'll let you know in about a week.
Go out to dinner tonight and see if it works, and see if you can walk away with a $200 bill gratis, if you will. Charlie Sloes, the voice of the Washington Nationals here, 106.7 The Fan. I don't know. What's your schedule the rest of the day? I don't even know.
Do you have a guest next?
My
schedule's wide open if you need me.
We have Dave. You want to stay for Dave, or do you have enough of Dave during the regular season?
That's a debatable question.
I mean, you had to spend an extra 3 weeks with him this year. Maybe he doesn't want to see you.
You know what the old saying used to be at the end of the regular season, mm-hmm. when you knew you weren't making the postseason,
right.
and you were going home? It would be like the day before the season was over, you'd say, well, after tomorrow, we all get to pick our own friends again. This year we didn't have to pick any. We didn't have to do that.
You had a lot new friends. A
lot
of new
friends.
That's
true. We got to do the stage ceremony, since I never got to do it. The folks who started the NATS Nats chant in the gallery level right below us. I don't know, 7-8 years ago. Uh-huh. What that's become, and we just hear it, but we never participated. So right. I did it at the stage ceremony.
You got to do that with
a million people.
That's not bad. Not a bad way to go.
It's not. The whole crowd did it at the parade.
Not a bad, because you hear that about 500 times a baseball season, but you never get to participate in it or lead it. One last quick thing, then we'll we'll bring you back if you want to stay. You're welcome to stay you want. So during the off season, obviously you live down in the Tampa area.
Back and forth, yeah.
Right. So a lot of people, I'm sure, know you there. I mean, like, do you get pulled all the time to say, "Hey, how was it like?" Do you ever get tired of telling the stories or no?
No.
No.
I don't. The stories of this year and the World Series. No. Not today. Not tomorrow. Mm. Not next week. Next month. Or next year.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
You know, maybe we'll put it in a book.
I mean, sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I'm doing one thing I hadn't done in a long time. A couple of friends of mine who've never been, one of my best friends was looking for something to surprise his 77-year-old dad with that they've never done.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "You ever been to the Hall of Fame?" He said, "No, he always wanted to do it." He said, "But it's just like Cooperstown's not usually on the way to anywhere."
Right, right,
It's in the middle of.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Right. So we're going on February 6th.
Oh, cool.
Figure this is the time to go see the Nats World Series display. They've got the game playing there with the last out call on a loop. And
Wait, so like you're going to walk into Cooperstown, mm-hmm. into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and obviously, like you said, there'll be the Nats exhibit, and then they're going to have your call looping?
That's what I'm told. That's happening. It's doing it right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Pretty damn. Yeah, but you're not there.
No.
I mean, when you're there, that's
somebody sent me
like,
said,
pitch
hey.
Yourself.
Somebody sent me a thing, said, hey, you're at the Hall of Fame. And I'm like, no, I'm not. No, hey, you're at the Hall of Fame, and then
really
they played
at the Hall
it for
of Fame.
Me.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, congratulations. You know how happy I am for you and your family, and you've been always been good to me, so I appreciate it, you stopping by. And if you want to stay, you're more than welcome to. I'd love to have you. But congratulations. Seriously, you know how happy
Thanks.
I am for you guys. So, Mr. Charlie Slows, everybody, big hand for him. Dave Jagler scheduled to join us. We'll have more guests stopping by. We're live until 2 on The Fan, but we're staying until 3 because – somebody big is scheduled to join us after 2 o'clock. I just can't say the name just yet. So, we're with you on The Fan on a Saturday afternoon from Nats Winterfest.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.